Take your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter number 10. Sorry, my fault. I didn't let him know. Everybody's awake now, and so that was the Happy New Year sound. It's kind of like I enjoyed the New Year last year, the New Year's Eve, however you want to say it, the exercising of the Second Amendment rights last night as people were happy. I'm not sure where that came from, shooting guns to celebrate the new year, but I'm glad we can own guns.
Amen.
I'm glad we live in a country where we can still do that freely, and you may not choose to shoot yours. I didn't shoot mine last night. I was counting, I was checking my eyelids for holes last night at 12 o'clock, and I didn't find any holes last night at 12 o'clock, but I did this morning at 7. I had to be out of bed a little bit earlier than that. But anyway, Hebrews chapter number 10, we're going to read verses 19 through 25. And there's so much in this portion of Scripture that's hard to just read through it. But we're going to try and do that. And then I do, Lord willing, plan on preaching tonight out of the same portion of Scripture. We're going to key in this morning just on verse 25 as we start the new year with our new theme for this new year. Last year was by faith. And I don't know if it's just maybe this time of my life, God is really impressing upon my heart the book of Hebrews. But I can't help but think about, we're talking about something else in the book of Hebrews today as well, and better things. We ought to be striving for better in our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not happy, this is one of the points here, we'll talk about it again in a while, not happy with just the status quo. We ought to be striving for better in our life. But I'm glad we get to celebrate the new year. Along with the new year usually comes new hopes and envisions, and that can happen really any day of our life. But we're humans, and we follow along that idea of the new year, and let's start things right and do things correctly. And I'm glad you're in church on the first day of the year. I'm glad I'm in church on the first day of the year. What a good way to start this year. And let's make sure we keep that going throughout the year. But as we think about that, let's begin reading here in Hebrews 10, verse 19 through 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Father, I pray to help us as we open your word. We are thankful for that new and living way that Jesus introduced to us so many years ago. Thank you, Lord, that that way is still new. It's still a way to have new life. And I pray, God, if anybody here is not saved, do not know for sure that they've had that new life, God, I pray that today we would see people saved. We'd see people born again. God, for those that know that they've been saved, God, I pray you'd help them, help us today, God, that we would desire to do so much the more for you. We're thankful for all you've done for us. We're thankful for the blood that was shed. We're thankful for the free gift of salvation. We're thankful for the forgiveness of sins. And I pray, God, you'd help us to learn to live our lives, God, in such a way that would be pleasing to you, in an effort that we give thankfulness to you for all you've done for us. Please speak to hearts, I pray, God. Help us to go home different the way we came to church. God, help me today as I preach. God, you speak through me, as you've already spoken to me. God, help us to do what's right during the invitation this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I enjoy the new year, and I think this, again, Happy New Year. And I believe this, new is great. But not everything new is bad. Not everything new is good. There's some new things out that we ought to stay way away from. A new way of worshiping the Lord. There's no new way of worshiping the Lord. All that new stuff, the old stuff still works, all that's fine. But now in some cases, new is good. If I had my choice between a new car and an old car, or new and used, and I didn't have to pay for them, I'm going new. If I got to pay for it, I'm going probably as cheap as I can get. And have you ever seen those signs? I see people, as guys driving around these tow trucks to say, we buy junk cars. And I'm thinking, yeah, so do I, because they break down all the time. I understand the difference. They buy them on purpose. I buy them on accident. But new and used, you know this to be true. If you can get, and my family and I, we're not against this. We do a lot of shopping at Savers. Okay, there's some clothes we don't buy at Savers, but there's some things that we do buy there. They're now new, but still, if I had the chance to get them new instead of at Savers, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get them new. I like, there's some things that are great along with the idea of new clothes versus old clothes. How about this? The new year brings a hope of things better than last year. Listen, if you're hoping that 2017 was worse than 16, there's something wrong inside of you. Normally, in human beings, hoping that the new is going to bring something better than what last time took place. In 2016, for some people, was a tremendous year. For other people, it wasn't so great. But there's always room for new and improvement. When I think of new, I can't help but think of the most important new, and that is the new life that's found in Jesus Christ. The Bible here even talks about in verse 20, by a new and living way. Hey, there's only one way to get to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. When we talk about a new way, he was reminding the folks here that were trying to keep the law to get to heaven. He was reminding them that law was never intended to get you to heaven. Here's the way you get there. It is through the promise of Jesus Christ. I like the fact that 1 week ago today, we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. The announcement of this new gift that was given to us, and then 1 week, the day later, we celebrate the beginning of a new year. And I like that, because guess what? When Jesus is introduced, you know what happens? New things come to life. When Jesus was introduced to Nicodemus, he got a new life. The day I got saved, there was new life given to me. And when Jesus introduced, new takes place. 2017 is going to offer each of us some new things. It's going to offer new victories. Somebody say amen right there. You do plan on having some victories, don't you, this coming year? We don't plan for defeat, but there's some other things. There's going to be some new trials. Going to be some new temptations. I've noticed this here. I've noticed that many times trials don't understand that today's a new year. And it's supposed to stop on December 31st. And the trial is supposed to end right there. And I don't have any more. No, the trials don't do that. They don't sit by a calendar and say, you know what? It's a new year. We're going to leave those people alone for a while. No, a lot of times that kind of stuff just comes over and it rolls over into the new year. But let's face those things. Let's face the trials. Face the temptation. Have some new victories this year. The new year brings some new excitement and some new things going on. I'm just going to throw this out there and stir some things up. Many people are excited about January 20th and the new administration. I am too. Amen. I think to be good. The new administration. I think that's going to be a good thing. But here's the sad fact of the matter. Many saved people are acting like our champion resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Can I remind you the fact that I know it does matter who sits in the White House. I do believe that. But as far as what God's plan is for the world, it really doesn't matter who's there. God's still in control. Our champion does not reside in Washington, D.C. Our champion resides in the halls of heaven where he ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. Why you say that? Because I've met too many folks that I know they're saved. I don't know. They know they're saved. They've said it. Clear testimony of salvation. And their hope lies with, oh, wow, we've got this political thing and that political thing. Wait a minute. God's economy doesn't revolve around our politics. Let's go and understand that the new we can have here is a new victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing I am excited about this year is our theme. I like the theme for this year. Even if I am the one that came up with it, I still like it because it's not original to me. It's original to the Bible and so much the more. This last year we looked some and we were reminded, and I hope you were challenged some, to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Is your faith, has it increased at all this last year? And if what you got this last year was just a little bit of increase in faith, let me encourage you this year, go so much the more. And so much the more. And here in 2017, let's plan on doing that so much the more. Not serving God the same as we did last year, but doing so much the more. I like the way God wrote it. I like the way that the penman wrote it down. I do believe the Apostle Paul was a human penman of the book of Hebrews. You can disagree. You can be wrong if you want to. Tell you the truth, it doesn't matter who the human penman was. It was the Holy Ghost of God. It's kind of like taking this pen, I only have one pen. Or taking this pen, If I write down with that pen or I write down with that pen, it doesn't matter which pen I use. I'm still the author of that thing I just wrote. God, the Bible's the same way. God used different penmen to write down the Bible, but God's still the author.
Amen.
I believe as the author here is writing this down, I like the way it's written, and he didn't just say, and more. He didn't just say, and much more. He said, and so much the more. That means not being happy with what's going on right now. That means, yeah, being content with such things as you have, but never content with your walk with God. And so much more. And yes, by the way, I do understand. I know I read the verse. I read it over and over again. I know it's talking about church attendance. Somebody say amen right there. I know I'm preaching to those that are in church this morning, but I know I'm preaching to people that will be tempted not to be here next week. I know, you know how I know? Because I will be tempted to skip every now and then. Amen. How many times, preacher, have you come to church just because you're the preacher? You don't need to know the answer to that question. But I'm saying, I know that the devil works on you like he works on me. That will be, because you know what? You can be placed basically in the Bible. It can be talking about you. And forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. You don't want to be the some is. Because some people, I understand that. Sometimes you're going to get sick and not be able to make it to church. Sometimes you get called out on a call and you can't be at church. Sometimes things happen, but sometimes we can be here and we're not here. And the manner of some is, what if it's convenient, I'll be at church. What if the Cowboys aren't playing at 11 o'clock, I'll be in church, Brother Josh. Or whatever the case may be. As an inside joke, he's not going to skip church for the Cowboys. He might do it for the Yankees, but he wouldn't do it for the Cowboys. But some people are kind of like that, that they would say, well, as long as it's convenient, that's what the manner of some is they would say, if it's convenient, I'll be there, and if not, I'll be... No, hey, you know what he's saying as far as church attendance? By the way, it does say it, but it doesn't use the word church attendance, but it talks about assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more. We ought to be begging that there'd be a special service so we can be in church more this week. We ought to be hoping there's going to be a surprise revival meeting so we can be in church more. And that ought to be, but there's also give attendance to reading. We ought to be doing that as well. So much the more. I think there's three or four points we're going to look at this morning and then hope God will change our hearts. First thing I see this, as we approach this year with that thought in mind, again, so much the more, yes, in church attendance, but without replacing Scripture, without changing anything, can we apply it to this way in our lives? And so much the more in everything we do. Can I tell you this? Here's one way to look at it. You know what? If we do that, if we approach 2017 with so much the more, and by the way, God will do so much in your life, you have that spirit and attitude, because you're in a battle against the devil. And if you would say, God, use me more and do more with me, God will use you tremendously. By the way, that's the way with any kind of a competition or anything that's taking place where there's a competition out there for men's souls. And if you and I don't get busy and tell people there's a lot going to go to hell and their blood will be upon our hands, and if we're sit back and doing nothing, then there's going to be more go to hell. But if we stay so much the more, I'm going to go do things, that the word, the Bible will get out more, the gospel will get out more. But if we just sit back and do nothing, we're not going to accomplish as much. What this church, what this county needs is more people that will stand up and say, so much the more, I'm going to do something for God in 2017. It's like being on a team. Being on some kind of a team where there's competition and everybody's like, yeah, well, it's just for fun. Yeah, don't be on my team if it's just for fun. It is just for fun, but guess what? It's only fun if I win. Amen. Justin, you're smiling. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, he doesn't want to be just, I'm just on a team. We had that when I was at Rio Grande Baptist Church. We played church men's softball. And that's what somebody said. Well, it's just for fun. Well, I'm not going to play. I had to learn how to not be a sore loser. Amen. Because I want to win. Because I want to do something. And I'm trying to get that same attitude across to us today. How about let's do something so much the more? Not just be a part of the family of God, but so much the more doing something for God. First thing I want to look at this morning, you know what that'll do? If we approach our life, if we approach this year with the attitude of so much the more, you know what it's going to do? First thing I believe it'll do, it'll cure apathy. It'll cure apathy. You know what apathy is? I don't care. Asked a group of kids one time, you know what the difference between ignorance and apathy is? And they said, I don't know and I don't care. I said, you're right. Some of you are still looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. Ignorance is not knowing. Apathy is not caring. Here's the sad fact of the matter. There's a lot of people saved and on their way to heaven living an apathetic Christian life. Just, and none of them would stand up and say, I don't care that people around me are dying and going to hell. However, by our actions, we're living an apathetic life, and we really don't care that people are dying and going to hell. Fact of the matter is, most Christians, most saved people don't even believe that hell is real. Say that again. I believe that most of them, let me say it this way, live like they don't believe hell is real. Because if we believe that every time a heart stopped beating without having trusted Christ their Savior, that person spends eternity in a Christless hell. If we really believe that, we'd be telling more people about Jesus Christ. We can say we believe it, but if we really believed it, there wouldn't a day go by where we would fail to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. But if we live with so much the more with that mentality, well, you know what? That's going to cure apathy. So much the more, because we're going to face the day by God. I want to do more, not just this year, but I want to do more today than I did yesterday. It'll cure apathy. Here's what, too many of us living with a status quo mentality. Well, as long as I can get by and everything's going well, I'm on my way to heaven, my four and no more, and we're saved and we're okay. Don't fall into that. And I'm not saying we would say that out loud, but our actions speak louder than words. And how often do we just go through life just really not caring? There's a song in his hymn book, Dost Thou Not Care, that millions are dying. And do we care? Do we not? But if we approach this year, if we approach this day, and every day this year with God, I want to do so much the more, it'd cure apathy. If we live that way with, hey, just let things go on. But Hebrews 6:9, you're there in Hebrews chapter 6. How about, you're in Hebrews, go to chapter 6. Verse number 9, here's what God wants for us. He doesn't want just average things for us. He doesn't want just average things out of us. Be careful how you hear that when I say He doesn't want just average things for us. I'm not preaching that if you live for God, you're going to have a multi-million dollar bank account. If you do, don't forget to tithe. Nothing wrong with having a multi-million dollar bank account. Nothing wrong with having money as long as money doesn't have you. That makes sense? Amen. God likes rich people. Abraham was rich. Job was rich. A lot of people in the Bible were rich. I don't preach against people being rich, having riches. I preach against riches having people. But God wants us to have better things than just average it. God wants better things out of us. Let me say it that way. Hebrews 6:9. But beloved, who's he talking to there? I believe he's talking to saved people. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Child of God, we ought to be doing better things this year than we did last year. Now, I'm not just talking about quitting smoking and drinking. I'm not just talking about that. Okay, although I am talking about that, or whatever habitual vice you might have. As Baptists never preach against gluttony. As Baptists never preach against speeding. Or gossiping. Or whatever it can. There's other sins, because we think about those big sins. Oh, wait a minute! Sin and unrighteousness is sin in the eyes of God. And if we've got things we're hanging on to, yeah, get rid of those things, but he's talking about better things. Not just happy with just living a life. How about so much the more living for God and doing what's right in the eyes of God? So much the more. That's why I believe, hey, I believe that this ought to be the best looking place around. We don't have to have the rich. I know we're next to that big old temple or whatever the thing that is they call over there, and they got more money than sense over there they can throw in that building. We don't got to have the fanciest, but we ought to have the best. It ought to look nice. Amen. It shouldn't. People shouldn't drive by and say, I wonder if that building's vacant. It don't look good. We ought to be, as we come and fill the house of God, we ought to, and I believe in looking like I'm going to church when I go to church. I'm trying to say that again because a lot of people didn't like it. I believe when people see me on Sunday morning, I don't want them to wonder if I'm going snowboarding or if I'm going back to bed or if I'm going and just laying in the park. I want them to know I'm going to church. Amen. I don't wear a suit and a tie all day, every day. I wear a suit and tie when I go to church. I definitely don't wear a suit and tie when I go out to eat, especially at Pinnacle Peaks Restaurant. You wear a tie there, you get it cut off. Hallelujah. I like that's the best rule in the world. Anyway, but what I'm saying is I think we ought to be living life where there's better things. Better things. And not because if we live a life with better things, if we live the life with the idea of so much the more for God, it'll cure apathy. Because if you approach life that way, God will want to do better, you're going to start caring about some things. Our desire ought to be to please Jesus. The Bible there in Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:2, no man that warreth entangleth himself the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let me ask again this question. Do we even care if there's a world around us dying and going to hell? So much the more will help me not to fall into a spirit of apathy. Do I care? Do you care? It'll cure apathy. Second thing I want to look at here is the fact that the cause is amazing. It is amazing to be a child of God. It is amazing to be, I like that song, Amazing Grace, because really there is no other word but amazing. You ever stop and thought about the grace that saved you, how amazing it is, how wonderful it is that God could save somebody like me, how God could save somebody like you, because you're the only one that knows really how wicked you really are. And the fact that God could save you, it is an amazing grace. And the cause is amazing. I'm reminded of young David as he stood before the army there, and not just the army of the Philistines, but the army of Israel that had grown into a spirit of apathy as well. I mean, they wanted to do something, but they didn't really care enough. If they did care enough, they'd have gone out and done something. But as old Eliab stood and chewed out little David, oh, I know the naughtiness of thy heart. Now, you little bad boy, what are you doing here? And David reared back and said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And I want to stand beside Brother David and say, yes, sir, teenage boy, David, there is a cause. It is the cause of Jesus Christ. It's worth it. Join in and help to advance the cause. Well, how can I do that? You can go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You can go tell somebody about the greatest day of your life. And just in case you don't know, that's the day you got saved. If you're saved. If you've been born again. Oh, preacher, I don't know the plan of salvation. You tell them what God did for you. The woman at the well, she hadn't gone through a soul winning class. I'm for soul winning training. It's a good thing to know scripture verses and what to say and where to go. But you know what she did? After she went, Jesus said, whoso drinketh of this water shall never thirst again, but shall be in him a fountain of water out of the belly. Anyway, springing up again. You know what she did? All she did, she went to town and she told all them folks, come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And here's what you can do. You may not know all the scriptures. You need to learn them. But if you don't know, you can just go out and tell somebody, you know what? There's a day I met Jesus Christ and He changed my life. I don't know what to say. You open your mouth, you'll be surprised what God will put in there when you start talking about Jesus. The cause is amazing. Join in and help advance the cause. But first, like Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Do you know that you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? If you do, then you're, guess what? You're already joined up. And there's a term that military, if you use this term, a lot of military people will cringe right away when they hear the term AWOL. Because that's something you don't ever want to be. But there's a whole lot. What is that? Absent without leave. That means just not doing your job. And you've been given a commandment, Brother Williams. Could you imagine if one of your superiors gave you a job to do and you were just like, yeah, well, when I get around to it. Or you know what? I don't know. You know what? According to this manual, I'm not sure if I've been called. You know, I got to wait for a calling from somewhere. And your superior and your officer is telling you, Sergeant Williams, go do this. Well, you know what? I'm just not. There's going to be some problems take place. But here we are thinking, well, why would he do that in the military? Why would we do that as a child of God when we've been commissioned by God to do something, and a lot of us sitting around saying, well, I'm waiting for a call. Yeah, I've got a call for you right here in the Bible. Here's one. And God's calling in Matthew 28. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptizing them. It's a job that we've been given to do. But can I remind you, the cause is amazing. Here's the problem. We look at it the wrong way. Can I remind you, it's a wonderful thing to be able to sit at the king's table. I think about old Mephibosheth after he got, he was forgiven. He wasn't forgiven. He hadn't done anything wrong. Just that crippled boy. And he came and David had mercy on him for Jonathan's sake. And I remember the day I got saved and God had mercy on me for Jesus' sake. And old Mephibosheth, as he came and presented himself before the king, and King David said, you know what? I'm gonna let you feast at my table continually. And I think about the same thing as I presented myself before God, and he's allowed me to eat at his table continually. And then guess what? When I die, I get to go to heaven. And it's amazing. The cause is amazing. You know what, people that don't know, if you've never been, I love that verse, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You've got to taste and see. There's some people that they've never tasted and they don't know how good God is. Or you might be saved. What I'm saying is you've never tasted of getting in the cause and seeing how good it is. This is a horrible illustration, but just last night was the first time Brian ever tasted pinon. Exactly. You're looking at him like you're crazy. You've been in New Mexico how long? And last night was the first time you ever had pinon. He says, it's pretty good. I said, yeah, that's an understatement of the year coming last night on the last day of the year. It is pretty good. And we would look at him and say, you've never tasted it. Why? Don't you know how good that tastes? And I step back and I watch people all the time in casual Christianity who have been saved but never got in and understood how good the cause is. And I look at them and I say, you need to try God and see how good He really is. It's amazing to live for God. No better life than living for Jesus. My pastor says it this way. The ministry is great. And by the way, every child of God ought to be in the ministry. It is great serving God. It's a wonderful thing. The cause is amazing. And when you so much the more serve God, you know what? You're going to wake up one day and say, hey, this is as good as preacher said it was. Oh, wait, no. Preacher was wrong. This is better than what he said it was. It's an amazing life living for the King. Don't just cruise through life. When you get involved, you'll realize the cause is amazing. There's no greater life than following the will of God. Even if it takes you to Texas. Sorry, Miss Wendy. Even if it takes you to California. I had one of my best friends growing up, Steve Jensen, he had an older brother named Reuben that I had worked with for a while with Reuben up on the ranch in Colorado. And right before the summer that I moved to go to Bible college, I had taken the kids from our church, from Rio Grande. Somebody else had volunteered to take them to camp. At the last minute, they unvolunteered. Pastor came to me and said, Matt, you're going to have to take them. I said, oh, man, that's horrible. I love going to camp, by the way. Camp's tremendous. We took them up to Treasure Mountain Bible Camp up in Colorado. Really nice camp. And we were close enough there that I ended up going by and seeing Reuben. And Reuben saved his mom and dad. In fact, he was born on the mission field. His mom and dad were missionaries of the New Tribes Missions. And Reuben was born in Brazil on the mission field. Reuben knows the Bible good, trying to live a godly life. And I told him something about this. I said, thank you, Brother V. I said, what I'm going to do, I said, Reuben, I'm getting ready to move to California to go to Bible college. And here's Reuben. He put in a good perspective for me. Because he said this, well, if God can take Joseph to Egypt and good come out of that, I guess you going to California, good can come out of that. And I thought, man, that's a good illustration. Because I wasn't excited about going to California, the land of the fruits and nuts. You're being mean. They say that, the land of the fruits and nuts. They're talking about different things than what I'm talking about. But I went there, and here I'm trying to tell you, following, living in the will of God, the cause is amazing. I wouldn't trade the last 15, 17 years of my life really trying to live for God. I wouldn't trade that for all of Trump Tower. I'm serious. I wouldn't trade it for the riches of whatever riches you can think of because it's been an amazing life. It's great. I love living for God. And if you've never tried, try it and you'll realize it is amazing. But here's how you do it. So much the more. It's not, well, I think maybe, no. Just go ahead and just so much the more. Here's the amazing life, is when you're so far, now after fasting and praying, amen, not just doing something because it sounds like, oh, wow, missionary to the Himalayas, let's go. After, who would want to go there anyway? It'd have to be a call of God. But after fasting and praying about whatever it is that God lays upon your heart, after fasting and praying and getting peace by God doing it, you sometime in your Christian life need to be so far out on that limb that this better be the will of God for my life. Because if not, I'm in big trouble. Been there, preacher? I've been there a couple times. And guess what? God always, because I had fasted and prayed, hope you're getting that part, because I had fasted and prayed and got godly counsel about it, and I was way out here, and God always came through. I can step back and say, the cause is amazing. It's wonderful serving God, but I got out here because I decided I'm going to do it so much the more. I'm not going to be content with just living and dying. I want to do so much the more. The cause is amazing. We must hurry. Number three, think about this. The consequences are awful. The consequences, yeah, if you don't do so much the more. The consequences are awful. They are awful. Amen. And you know the good thing? One of the many good things about God is you can decide not to do so much the more. You can suffer some awful consequences. Then you can get right with God and God can still use your life. Somebody say amen right there, because you're not perfect. You've gotten out of the will of God in your life. God's forgiven you and God can still use you. After some time of repentance and prayer, thanking God, I'm sorry as your child for what I've done. You get things right. David did that, didn't he? Amen. I'm not saying it's okay to go out and do what David did, but I'm just saying that he suffered consequences, didn't he? And you and I will too. When we don't live so much the more, there's going to be some consequences. I think about Samuel as he suffered Samson. Samson suffered some awful consequences. You'd be a nutcase not to agree with the fact that God used Samson. God used Samson tremendously. The Spirit of God would come upon him now and then, even when he did things he wasn't supposed to do. Did God come upon Samson after he had messed with the dead carcass of the lion? He did. Did God help him when he went in and he went down to that woman of Timnath? Wasn't supposed to do that. But God in His mercy still allowed Samson to be used. But then Samson just kept playing. Samson kept playing. And after a while, God said, that's it. You've crossed it. You've gone too far, Samson. Now I'm going to let you suffer these consequences. And after he did, and he had his hair shaved and his eyes put out, and he was there grinding in the house, and hey, you think about that right there is a sermon illustration right in that. Sin binds. Remember, he was bound with those, bind me with new things and I won't get out. But he did get bound after they cut his hair off and they bound him. He couldn't get out. Sin binds. You know what else they did? They put out his eyes. Sin blinds. And then he was grinding. And sin grinds. And Samson, because of that, suffered some awful consequences. And it all began because he wasn't doing so much the more. Child of God, you or I can wake up one day living in some kind of outrageous, crazy, wild sin. And we can always trace it back. It doesn't happen overnight. I'm not going to go from 1 minute really walking with God and trying to do His will and so much the more, and then 5 minutes later deep in sin. It's going to be because I quit doing so much the more, and then I get okay with life, and then I get okay and I live in apathy, and after a while I forget to walk with God, and then all of a sudden, oh, how did I get over here? It's because I was way, at one time I was doing so much the more, but I quit doing it. Let me warn you, the consequences are awful. Here, let's look at the next one real quick. I just wanted to warn you on that because my job as a watchman to warn you. Amen. If the bridge was out and the state didn't warn us, we'd be mad at the state, wouldn't we? Well, the bridge is out for some people's lives. You're heading down a road to ruin, and it's simply because you're not doing so much the more. Well, preacher, you expect me to present my body a living sacrifice? Holy, acceptable unto God? That's too much. No, it ain't. It's your reasonable service. Amen. To present our bodies. You may not come back tonight. I'm going to preach on some of that tonight, perhaps. So come on back, because we present our bodies. Well, it's my body. I can do what I want. You are bought with a price. Amen. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. Well, I can get tattoos because it's my body. Your body and your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Amen. I'm not just talking about just tattooing. I'm talking about all sorts of stuff. Yeah, man. It'll be me and my wife in church tonight. I'll preach on her tattoos. Does she have them? Hey, let's get a rumor spread. Miss Marsha has tattoos. Sheesh. Consequences are awful, but hang on, think about this. That verse there, Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Can I right there say that's where I see the idea of the consequences are awful? Not forsaking the assembling. The way I read that is, it's not just a, oh man, I had surgery on my hands on Friday, I can't make it to church on Sunday. That is not, I got a call, I'm on call this weekend, preacher, I might get called out in the middle of church. I guess it's pick on Brother Tony Day. And listen, hey, when he's, and he'll let me know, and others have done the same thing, preacher, I got, Brother Jerry, once a year, they have to work on Sunday. And he's miserable when they have to work. That's not the folks he's talking about there. Not forsaking the assembly. Getting sick and not being able to be in church, that's not what he's talking about. Getting called and have to work on a Sunday every now and then, that's not what they're talking about. You know, somebody once said it this way, you can work when your ox is in a ditch, but if your ox is in a ditch every other Sunday, you either need to get a new ox or cover the ditch. Anybody? He's talking about the ones not forsaking. He was saying here is the ones who are just like, well, if it fits my schedule, I'll do it. There's some awful consequences that will come from that. It's hard enough doing it right. But when we do it wrong, it's hard. Some awful consequences. But how about this? Number four, I see this, that Christ is appearing. The end of that verse, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. That'll leave us with some good news. As you see the day approaching. Can you see the day approaching? Can you see it? I don't know when it's going to be, because no man, not you, not I, not some knucklehead out of San Francisco, California, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. What are you talking about? That guy, I don't even know if he's still alive, Harold Camping. You hear that name? Run. Run with your fingers in your ears. That's how you need to listen to that guy. You know what? He has more than one time predicted the day and the hour. Well, why is that a big deal? Because there's thousands of people across the country now, across the world, scoffing even worse at Christians. Well, Jesus isn't coming after all. Look, this guy predicted. He didn't show up then, so you guys must be wrong. No man knoweth the day or the hour, but I know one thing. He is coming again. He promised that He would. He's coming as you see the day approaching. And I see the day approaching. How I see it? Open up a newspaper. That's one of those things that has a whole lot of papers stuck together. And it's folded in half like this. And then it's folded again. And there's print on it. A lot of people don't know what newspapers are. They think they're fly swatters. You can read the newspaper, you can see on the internet, all these things. It's almost like you're reading your Bible, but you're seeing it come to pass in front of you. One thing, friends, just recently they're talking about a Palestine, talking about Israel wanting this little tiny strip that was promised by God to Israel. And they're talking about a Palestinian state. The Palestinian state, my hind leg, that's Israel's land. Don't get political, preacher, I'm getting biblical. That's Israel's land. Amen. Palestine don't need, you know what? Christ is coming again soon. If you don't see Him coming again soon, you're living in some kind of parallel universe than what I am. And there is no parallel universe. If you don't see the day approaching, then you're not reading your Bible, you're not paying attention, or you're just ignorant of the fact He's coming again and soon. And I'm going to stand by Brother John and say, even so come, Lord Jesus. He's coming again soon. Christ is approaching. And you know what we ought to be doing? Because of that, so much the more. So much the more. So here's real close real quick of these three things. Here's what we ought to do. So much the more. We ought to work so much the more. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I know W-O-R-K is a four-letter word, but it's a good four-letter word. It's one you can use. It's one you can practice, by the way. And not I'm talking about regular work, but I'm also talking about spiritual work. Regular work is good for you. Whether it's sitting behind a computer screen or whether it's digging a ditch, work is good for you. But wait a minute, spiritual work's good for you too. Spiritual work never got, I can't say it never got anybody to heaven, because I'm not working my way to heaven. I'm trying to work somebody else's way to heaven. Walking out there knocking on doors, talking to somebody at the grocery store. I almost call it a grocery mat. Laundromat and grocery store together would be a grocery mat. I'm trying to work. Here's what John Rice said. I'm just one beggar trying to show another beggar where he found the bread. Amen. And we ought to be working in such a way that, well, preacher, I don't want to burn out. Don't worry about burnout, because he's coming again soon. Amen. I believe that it's on the horizon. It can't be much longer. Amen. It's so close. It ought to wake us up and realize, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Why? Because this day is approaching. We ought to work so much the more. I was told this. We ought to work as if everything, as far as working and doing God's will, we ought to work as if everything depended upon us, and then pray as if everything depended solely upon God. And if we get those two together, you'd be amazed at what God can do in and through your life, through my life, through the life of this church. We ought to work so much the more. And here's a neat thing. I don't know if there's a neat thing. Please don't take offense as I say this. I just want to speak the truth in love. For some of us, it'd be easy to do so much the more. If you didn't do much last year, do something this year. If you didn't do much last week, do something this week. But so much the more. There's some that are doing a lot. But you know what? We can do more. We can work more. Here's something else we better do. We ought to watch so much the more. What do you mean watch? Hey, Jesus is coming soon. If you knew that He was coming again very soon, if we lived that way, we'd be doing so much more. If there were signs coming, if you were to... Here's something you ought to write this down. One boy is a boy. Two boys is a half a boy. Three boys ain't no boy at all. And Brother Williams, four boys, I don't have any idea where to go there, but good night. Why do you say that? Because I had two brothers as I was growing up. And if Dad would tell one of us to go do something, he'd get done. But if he told two of us to do something, he'd get half done. If he told the three of us to go work together, we'd be fighting, because the older brother would pick on the two of us, and then we'd fight against him, and then nothing would get done. Dad would go to town. When I say go to town, again, remember, our mailbox is 6 miles away. And then town, which was reserved, was 18 miles away. And that wasn't nothing. But he'd go and he'd come back, and when I get home, I want that barn cleaned. Okay. Be down there messing around for a while. I know you didn't ever do anything like this. I know as soon as you were told to do it, you did it and got done with it. But here's my wicked brothers pulled me down this path of doing things that weren't always right. I didn't resist very hard, but they pulled me down that path. And here's the thing. There was a, right there where the barn's at, there's a bend in the hill, and then it comes around this way. And you could always hear the cars once they came around this direction. And you'd hear, you know, back in the, when we were there in the mid-80s, there wasn't a whole lot of traffic up and down Highway 32. And we'd hear a car coming and it wouldn't bother us at all. And then we heard that one motor, that one certain engine coming around the corner. And we knew, Dad's going to be home in just a few minutes. And then he's going to come check on us. We'd better get busy. That's the way most Christians are. They're waiting for to hear the tuning of the trumpet. We're not going to hear the tuning of the trumpet. We're going to hear the shout. We're going to hear the voice, the archangel, the trump of God. We're going to hear it. We're not going to have time to get ready. But we do have time. Right now. We ought to be watching. We ought to be saying, God, we ought to wake up in the morning. God, you didn't come last night, but Lord, let me be watching for your return today. Because if I'm watching the way I ought to be watching, I'm not going to be messing in the world. I'm going to be doing so much the more. Watch, because the day's approaching. 2 Timothy, real quick, if you would, please. I know you thought I was closing. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, watch, because we know the day's approaching. It's getting real soon. This know also, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, this know also that in the last days, I believe that we're living not just in the last days, I believe we're living the last moments of the last days. And I know preachers have been saying that since when did Israel become a state again? 48, 46. Again, that's way before my time. And I know preachers have been standing up and saying that. But man, look what's happened since the mid-40s. And look what's going on now. And as we're living, I believe, in the last moments of the last days, this and the walls, the last days, perilous times shall come. Now think about what's going on in the world today as we read these scriptures. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Modern-day religion. And there's so many things you can see right there. In the last days, now if it was just one of those things, we could say, well, you know, maybe. Every one of those we can see in and around us, even today. What that tells me, we ought to be watching. He's coming soon. Titus 2, looking for that blessed hope. You know, Paul wrote that to Titus a couple thousand years ago. And if he was telling Titus to be looking, you know what we ought to be doing? We'll be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Here's something else we ought to do. We ought to work. We ought to watch so much the more. And we ought to win so much the more. That's something every one of us can strive to do. And that is to attempt to win people to Jesus Christ. Well, I forgot a word in there. What we ought to do is warn as well. We ought to be warning people. Our duty and our responsibility is to warn. So let me ask this question. How many did we warn in 2016? In 2017, let's commit to God to warn so much the more. Because here's the way it works. The more we warn, the more we're going to win. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. We ought to be required to grow a garden now. It ought to be part of a requirement for us. Because it would help us to understand. If I sow 2 kernels of corn, I can't expect a whole field of corn. But a lot of times in Christianity, a lot of times in our walk with God or our witness, we think that. Well, I witnessed to 2 people last year, and I don't know why I didn't see anybody saved. Because we sowed sparingly. But here's what we ought to do. So much the more. So much the more. As we approach this year, we're not even approaching it. We're in it already. As we're in the new year. Can't do anything about last year. Last year's done. But guess what? We can do something about this year. So much the more. Not happy with just status quo. So much the more. Sure, in church attendance. But how about in the way we live our life? How about our Bible reading? How about our prayer life? How about our witnessing? How about our giving? How about our whatever you want to say there? So much the more. Let's stand together, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As we approach the invitation time, how about we do this? We stop and think, how much did I do last year? And again, as I've mentioned this, every time I bring something like that up, it's not to make you feel bad, it's to see where are we at? And then let's do so much the more. We can't do more if we don't know where we're currently at. So let's see where we're at. Get real with God. Do business with Him this morning. God, I want to do so much the more this year than what we did last year. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You are persuaded better things of us. And help us, Lord, one of those better things that we do so much the more. God, that we would watch for You, that we'd work for You, that we'd warn others. God, help us to win people to You this year. God, please speak to hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name.